I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Andrew McCart, IFL TV. Delighted, as always, to be joined by Mr. Spencer Fearon himself. Spencer, how's things this wonderful Wednesday morning?
Everything's good, my end. And I pray everything's good, your end. And, I pray that you've had a good morning, mate.
Yeah, it's my daughter's birthday today, so I spent the morning with her, and that's me just in the gym at 10:30 in the morning. So, yeah, I've had a blessed morning. Thank you for asking. Likewise to you.
Okay, sir. Good.
Obviously, you're eating something there. What's that, my man?
Oh, sorry. This is Kumu porridge, right? So, any of my West Indian people, we know what's going on. Like, Kumu porridge is the one. So, this is what I'm having in the morning. Big up ballers as well. Because a lot of people say, oh, Spencer, you're always eating, which is true. If you go on a fight, it's right. I'm always eating. You just got me in the house and I've got to go out and do some work in a minute. But yeah, so it's Cornwall porridge time, man.
Good stuff. You know, we love porridge up in Scotland. Porridge is our national breakfast up here. So we love porridge in Scotland as well. I think we invented porridge, to be honest. Don't quote me on that, but I'm sure we did. I'm sure we found it somewhere along the line. I'll Google it and I'll send you. Anyway, Spencer, the reason I wanted to talk to you, obviously, I always love your opinion on anything that's happening in the boxing world. And let's just jump straight into the meaty bit of it, the actual beef. Well, I don't know if you want to call it beef. It seems like this ongoing saga or this ongoing feud with Lennox Lewis, who you know very well, and Anthony Joshua, who you know very well. What's going on here? Obviously, Lennox Lewis has criticised his fight with Ngannou. Say something along the lines that it does nothing for Anthony Joshua, and does it warrant him getting a crack at the Undisputed if he beats Ngannou? I just want to get your initial thoughts.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but what I'm saying is, like, at what point was it correct for Lennox Lewis to criticize that fight? Because Lennox Lewis wasn't as vocal for the Tyson Fury and Ngannou fight. So if Lennox Lewis had said something for the Tyson Fury Ngannou fight, then people could have said, well, he's justified in saying what he's saying because he's got a track record of criticizing these crossover kind of fights and all the rest of it, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could be, as Lennox Lewis is trying to say, okay, then, I genuinely want the best for Anthony Joshua, right? And you taking this fight right now of a man that's only had one professional fight, even though he's ranked in the top 10, that does nothing for you because you've beaten Otu Walling by his own admission on a tweet. You've beaten Otu Walling and now you're fighting Francis Ngannou. So you get what I'm trying to say? So anything Lennox Lewis said deeming to Anthony Joshua is going to seem like you're hating anyway. Unless he comes out and says, right, you're the best thing since sliced bread, then it'd be flipping on his head. So I don't think the concept these two men getting involved or going back and forth, I know Andy Josh hasn't said anything in this case, but I know Eddie Hearn has. But like I said earlier, a lot of people could think that Eddie Hearn is being hypocritical, and this is me, right? being hypocritical because he's very, very critical of the Ngannou Fury fight. But to Eddie Hearn's defense, we didn't know that Francis Ngannou was going to perform in the way that he did against Tyson Fury. So, because he did, and I was asked the question when I was out there by many people, even by guys from IFL. Now, I remember telling Ray Rahim this, that Francis Ngannou now is a top 10 heavyweight. To put in a performance like that against Tyson Fury, he's now a top 10 heavyweight. And he is a top 10 heavyweight. And the fight with Anthony Joshua, even, like I've said my piece story, I said I think this fight's going to be a mismatch, and that Anthony Joshua will look fantastic against him. But I shouldn't say that, because when I do say things like that, and Joshua doesn't perform in the way that he's meant to perform, and then people start saying all kind of things. Just like when I said Anthony Joshua should retire if his fight with Franklin was to go over 6 rounds. It didn't. It went 12 rounds. Now, people who are, oh, Spencer's hating on Anthony Joshua, he said that he should retire and blah, blah, blah. No, I'm saying it as a form of motivation to Anthony Joshua, really and truly, that this man's not meant to live with you. You're meant to brush this man. Because the Anthony Joshua that fought Otto Wallin, I don't believe that Franklin would have gone 6 rounds with him. Do you get what I'm saying now?
Yep.
Right. But anything that you say right now, which could be a smidgen where people want to say it's critical, then you're hating. Oh, you're a hater. Oh, no, I'm giving an opinion. I'm giving an educated opinion as well, right? Especially from historical standpoints. That you could, you don't have to agree with me. You can disagree, that's fine. You could disagree with me, but I know my points were valid. And in time, my points were even more valid because I'm telling you again, the Anthony Joshua that boxed under Ben Davidson, who fought Otto Wallin, would have totally obliterated, in my mind, totally obliterated Franklin. Right. But when it comes to the beef between Anthony Joshua and Lennox Lewis, I believe if they both were to sit down and speak with each other, I don't think there would be beef. Right? I really don't. But through design of the system of how this sport is, they don't want them to sit down and speak to one another. Now, people are telling me to this, they're Arbor Spencer. For the culture, it'd be great for these guys to sit down and talk. And I'm saying I'm way past that. You know what I mean? I regard Anthony Joshua a friend, right? I regard Lennox Lewis a friend, right? In fact, I regard both men as brothers. I'm going to be real. So that's their business. Because I know at the end of the day, their man's bread, as we say in Jamaica, is buttered on 6 sides. They don't need to worry about nothing. They don't need to worry about no bills. You know what I mean? They ain't cost of living crisis. They don't need to worry about none of those kind of things. So, you know what I mean? Good luck to them, man.
Definitely. Spencer, is there, like you see, I say beef, I see a lot of people on Twitter calling it a beef, but is it really a beef between Joshua and Lennox Lewis? Because I've seen Lennox Lewis, he was tweeting out and he's got receipts, as he called it, of tweets where he was praising Anthony Joshua in the past as well. So it seems like he criticizes him at a certain fight, which is as a boxing analyst as he is now, that he's entitled to do it. But he does also give AJ credit on the other hand as well. So is there a real beef there? Can we call it a beef or is it just... sort of like you call it, an educated opinion on what AJ is doing in his career?
Well, I think on certain things, it could also be the people who are behind Anthony Joshua, who are around him, that, you know, when whispers, nah, he's hating, nah, he's, you got what I'm trying to say to you? You know what I mean? I'm fortunate of the relationships that if I suspect anything, then I will address it to the person themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not paranoia, it's just like, right, if I feel something, I'm going to address it right now. You know what I mean? If I could see something, and I could see it as a, in our mother tongue of in Jamaica, we call it bad mind. If I could feel someone bad minding me being envious or not wishing me the best intentions, right? In our culture, we call it raw. My man's bad mind, you know. Right, meaning that you're bad-minded.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I have a smidgen of that, mm-hmm. I'm going to address it. That's me. And someone could turn around and say, Spencer, what are you talking about? I'm saying, bro, I think you're being bad-minded. End of story. Because you know what? At least I've got it off my chest And it's not playing in my head for me to start, because, you know what I mean? When you worry about something, you're actually praying to the devil. I could get onto that in a deeper way because the devil is not an actual living human being. The devil is an energy, yeah, that consumes the 30 trillion cells that the average human being has in his body, right? So you can either be on the side of the shaitan, the devil, or you could be on the side of godliness and righteousness. So I want to be on the side of righteousness. And the only way I could do that is by eradicating any evil thoughts by addressing the matter at hand.
By saying that, do you want Joshua to address Lennox Lewis?
No. Like I said, I need Joshua's bread is buttered on six sides, right? So I don't want him to, you know what I mean? Before I was all about, it's not good for our cultural identity as being men of color that we're seeing like two men of color going at each other for the entertainment of the world. No, I'm not. No. Now I don't care. Good luck to them. Wish them all the best. You know what I mean? I'm just going to be real. What I do know is this. Recently, I think it was last week, Lennox Lewis buried his mother. I understand what that is like going through sudden bereavement and how things could be dawning. So when you're going to say things, like it's anything you say is going to be misconstrued, but sometimes I always look at from where is it actually coming from? What is spouting it? And do I think that Lennox Lewis's tweet was actually really critical of Anthony Joshua? No, because on certain things he's being absolutely right. Do these two fights prepare Anthony Joshua to become undisputed champion of the world? No, it doesn't. But then Lennox Lewis also got to take into consideration that this is called prize fighting. And prize fighting for a purpose, because the prize is actually financial gains. And big up to Turkey Al-Sheikh for bringing the mass of the financial gains, where I'm seeing people who I know who are being fantastically rewarded from it. Right? Because I'm a very vicarious person, right? To be real. Like, Andrew, you could win £1 million tomorrow. And as far as I'm concerned, because I know you, that £1 million's mine, right? And what I'm trying to say to you is that I'm not wishing you anything wrong or any bad mind towards it. So therefore, I am consumed in the goodness of the energy. So therefore, that energy will be resounding and kind of come on myself as well. That's how I see things.
Yes, and I think that way as well, Spencer. But you mentioned there that does that, the Otto Wallen or Ngannou fight prepare Joshua for the undisputed? But Lennox Lewis also said that Joshua beating Wallen and then Ngannou, which he should, does that warrant him the fight? Because he thinks that the Zhang Parker fight probably warrants the winner of that fight, one of them two, to face the winner of undisputed. That fight has more to it than the Joshua Ngannou fight, especially the fights that they've been.
Do you know what? On paper, it does.
I think that's what he was saying, yeah.
Right. I'm going to be real with you. He's absolutely right with that one. On paper, Lennox Lewis is absolutely 1,000,000% correct. Right? But they're not superstars. Zhang is not a superstar. Right? Josie Parker, who I love dearly, I think is a fantastic fighter. And I actually think Josie Parker is a better fighter now than when he's world champion. They're not superstars. Right? Anthony Joshua is. And Saudi Arabia want as much eyeballs as possible on their country. Right? Turkey Al-Sheikh is doing a wicked job right now. No one can't turn around and say, he's doing a fantastic. Well, the eyeballs are out. So obviously you want to have the fights that's going to bring that. Would Zhang versus the winner of Tyson Fury, Usyk, and I think Tyson was going to win that fight, would that bring anything majorly to the table? Would that be a difficult one anyway? Just say, Josie Parker comes at victorious against Zhang, right? Which is a brilliant fight. He comes at victorious. Now he's going to fight Tyson Fury. He's in camp with Tyson Fury, right? So already we're going to think, there's got to be something iffy in there. Go down in the eighth. No, we're going to think something, right? Even though that's not happening, but that's what we're going to think. So, no, I don't. That is more worrying. Yes, for the hardcore boxing fans, yeah, it is way more worrying. But what is the bigger fight? If Tyson Fury comes at victorious, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua comes at victorious, you fight Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua is the biggest fight in the world. Let's not be stupid about it.
Yes.
Right? Let's not be stupid about it. And also, and I've got to defend Lennox Lewis because Lady Shan's my friend, but she went on about some big rant that Lennox Lewis is a hater. And when Lennox Lewis lost to Oliver McCall, it took him 2 years for him to go and fight back Oliver McCall because he went out to go learn his trade.
Mm.
No. What happened was there wasn't a clause in the contract for a rematch for Lennox Lewis when he got knocked out and lost his, he got stopped by Oliver McCall. There wasn't a rematch clause in the contract. And Oliver McCall done everything within his power not to fight a rematch with Lennox Lewis because Oliver McCall was with Don King and Lennox Lewis was with Frank Maloney and was doing something with Top Rank as well. And they were the Duvers. So they were two rival parties in the main event. So they were two rival parties and that's why that didn't happen. But for those who don't know history, I've got to tell people because Lennox Lewis did actually wanted his rematch and he had to wait and he had to go to court and he had to do all kind of nonsense for him to get another shot at Oliver McCall. And at times, subsequently, Oliver McCall.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, that's what happened. Subsequently, Oliver McCall lost to Frank Bruno. Frank Bruno lost to Mike Tyson. Then Mike Tyson, instead of not fighting Lennox Lewis, they catered the WBC crown. Right.
There we go.
I just like to educate talk. Who's my girl, Sugar Shane's girlfriend now. So I should call her Sugar Shan, Lady Shan, whatever. I'm just saying, I just want people to know that part there. That is not the case.
Definitely. Well, that puts me on to what you touched on it slightly there. Now, in an ideal world, Fury wins, Joshua wins. We get that, the start of Riyadh season in October, hopefully this year, obviously. But that's what we all want to see as boxing fans because there's not really an appetite for a Joshua versus Usyk trilogy. I don't think there's an appetite. Parker and Fury are in camp together. That doesn't make much sense. It doesn't really excite the fans. So in an ideal world, for boxing fans like me and you, Spencer, do we need Fury to win and we need Joshua to win so we can finally get that fight that you called the biggest fight in the world? We need this to happen for boxing, don't we?
We do. Let's be wrong. We do. And not only that, it's so great now that we have an amalgamation of Matchroom and Queensbury, right? So that would be a relatively easy fight to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I got to big up Turkey Al-Sheik, because Turkey Al-Sheik is coming to the game like the headmaster, right? He's coming to school like the headmaster. And he's like, you sit down, let's do your thing. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He had a big ruler back in the day. I think you're old enough to remember when you used to get beaten with a ruler. Because I know that was going on regular up in Scotland before they changed the legislation.
Still going on.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, listen, obviously, But talked about that you said Tyson Fury is going to beat Alexander Usyk, and I think we touched on this a little bit. Boxing IQ, they probably have the same boxing IQ, but like I said, Tyson's got that 6'9". We saw what he done to Wilder when he used that extra 30, 40 pounds he had, and he took Wilder's legs away from him by leaning on him. Do you think that sort of like the tactics for Tyson Fury going in this one is to use the size that he's got over Usyk? And we know, and you know very well yourself, there's a subject that we've talked about, the Dubois fight, that he doesn't quite like it to the body, Usyk. So for you, do you look at that fight and think, Tyson, use your size to your advantage and touch him to the body? Is it as simple as that for Tyson Fury?
No, it's not as simple as that, because Tyson Fury is not renowned as a body puncher.
Mm.
So, you know what I mean? He's not saying that he doesn't got body shots in his vocabulary of throwing, how he throws his fists, and in his attacking style, but Tyson Fury is not noted as a body puncher. And usually big guys aren't.
Mm.
Big tall guys usually aren't known as body punchers. But in saying that, Tommy Hearns, and now he's with the lineage of the Kronk in Sugar Hill, Tommy Hearns used to do that. He's got one, two, and he goes left up to the body, went quite hard. But Tyson Fury reported as being a body puncher, but he does know there's flaws downstairs on him. So there are flaws with him on the body shots. But there's also susceptibility to Tyson Fury getting caught on the blind side and going over. But if you think on the guys that had him over recently, he's like Francis Ngannou is meant to be the hardest punching man on the planet right now, right? By this UFC machine. And Deontay Wilder, as we know, when he's on it, Deontay Wilder hits you, it's good night, baby. So I think it's going to be a very, very tactical fight. And it depends if Tyson Fury's completely on it. And if he's completely on it, then I see him being victorious. But he has to be absolutely 100% completely on it. Not for the fact that he's too big. It's because Tyson Fury he's relatable education fighter. We can relate to the education stuff there. Well, I can, right? I can relate to that. I can relate to the things that Usyk does, but Usyk does, to me, more genius things. I think we give credit to Tyson Fury because he's so big and his body plyometrics isn't meant to do the things that he does, but he manages to do it. Yeah. And that's why it's a great fight. But I still see Tyson Fury coming out victorious.
And I'm looking forward to it. Well, we're just probably 3 weeks. So, yeah, 3 weeks on Saturday, I think, is away from seeing this undisputed heavyweight fight. And I'm
Saturday, you cannot miss. I can't miss it. Can't miss it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think the whole thing of the whole Saturday thing has been excellent. Big up Spencer Brown. Big up Gold Star Promotions. Big up Francis Warren. Big up Frank Warren. Big up George Warren. Big up everyone that's made all these kind of things happen. Because I don't know when we were about to go and see the materialization of stuff, we're going to see an actual undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. And now we have the opportunity to actually see it. It's been 25 years since the last time. You know what I mean?
Can't wait.
Right, so
it's going to be good. And I'm going to touch on, you also said that Turki Alashik has come in like a headmaster or a big ruler and telling everybody sit down and get the fight made. So this brings me on nicely to a fight that I want to see. I know the heavyweights are the heavyweights and everyone tunes in to see the heavyweights, but a fight that I think is probably one of, probably not far behind the Tyson Fury Joshua fight, is Tank Davis and Devin Haney. Now, Turki Alashik has said he wants to see that in Saudi in 2024. Spence, talk to me.
Listen, did you see the interview that he did with Addy? Let me just pick up Addy as well as my guy.
Yeah, Addy Aladipo, yep.
Right. Turki Alashik. Spencer Brown was telling to me ages ago, like, and you say to me, like, he really knows boxing. Yeah? And I'm going to be real. I'm saying you could be a fan, like, yeah, shut up. Yeah. Turki Alashik. Yeah, you're running things, but my name. No, he does know boxing. Mm-hmm. And you know why I know that he knows boxing? When they say to him, who are your favorite fighters? Right? And Turki Alashik turns around and he says, Roberto Duran.
That's my favorite fighter. Mm.
Right. Roberto Duran is his favorite fighter. And he also said, Roberto Duran and Larry Holmes. When somebody says that to you, they know boxing. Right? Because Larry Holmes actually goes underneath the radar. I don't want to bore people about the histrionics of Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes was an absolutely fantastic boxer. Right? And he'd wear you down. And also, I think, in the 80s, when cocaine hit America hard, he was disciplined enough to stay away from all of that, stay focused and stay in the gym, right? An absolutely fantastic, fantastic fighter. One of the most educated jabs that I've ever seen in the heavyweight division. Like, his jab, I would say, Joe Lewis, Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes, and Lennox Lewis. Those three guys, I'm sorry, let me not forget Sonny Liston as well, former heavyweight champion of the world as well. Like, those guys, trust me, yeah. But Larry Holmes, actually incredible fighter. And Roberto Duran, his tyrannical reign as a lightweight, people do not go back to seeing, you're saying your favorite fighter, just go and watch Roberto Duran. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, like, they're out in Saudi quite regularly. So when Turki Alshakh saying that they're his favorite fighters, then I'm telling you now, the guy knows boxing.
Talk to me about Tank and Devin Haney then. I think that fight, right, for me is up there, and that's what gets my juices flowing. I just think you've got people might think that Tank Davis is this knockout artist, but he's one of them ones you talk about that downloads that information, because he only throws maybe 10 punches a round, I think, on average, because he's down there, he's waiting for his perfect shot, and he's just waiting for that perfect shot, and he lands it, what, 9 times out of 10? I think he's got an 80-plus knockout ratio.
Tank Davis is a phenomenon. And more so, people were talking, well, Tank isn't that disciplined. But he must be doing something right, because the guy's an unbeaten fighter, right? The guy bangs out guys profusely, right? It's horrible how he looks out, guys, right? And like, when, like, it's mad, because a lot of people say he don't hit that hard. But he must be doing something right, because, right? He must be doing something right. Tank, he's a really good fighter. I'd love to see him and Devin Haney, especially to the fact that they both recently converted to Islam. To have that fight in Saudi Arabia, I think there's a bigger bearing to that. You know what I mean? I don't want to get too deep and scare people right now, right? I'm joking, right? But I'm saying to you, like, there is, and I think the money that would be purported to put that together, it will be a no-brainer for it not to happen. You know what I mean? I think Devin Haney said something about, oh, you've got, send me two Ferraris or something. And yeah, and then we could start negotiations, something like that. I've seen it. I really do believe that can happen. But the only way that it is going to happen, because Turki Alshakh is dealing with everyone, Turki Alshakh is going to just sit down with Al Haymon. Right? And you know, Al Haymon's got, he's a very, very influential, powerful man. Where he could make things not happen. But because everybody's seen everything happen out in Saudi now, I think, like, do not be surprised. Al Haymon's not going to be sitting down with Turki Alshakh in the near future to make that fight happen.
Yeah, it's exciting times, especially. 2023 was a good year. We spoke about that, Spence. But I think if 2024, with what's planned ahead and what fights we could have...
It's the best year so far. It's been the best year that we've had in ages.
Definitely. I totally agree. But listen, we've got to talk about brilliant fights here on our shores as well. And coming, being in London, being down there, Spence, how excited are you for Dan Aziz and Joshua Boazzi? I think it's next week, is it? A week, yeah. Saturday. Come on, talk about this. Go on. I'll let you have it.
This fight here, yeah, is a fight that's gone underneath the radar, but it's for the bragging rights of the barbershops. Right? Similarly to Craig Richards and Joshua Boazzi. But that kind of went underneath the radar as well. Maybe because it was on DAZN, right? Or maybe it's like, I'm going to be real, like, certain people have to understand, when you're dealing with a street culture, yeah? You got to get the guys from that street culture who are really big, like the rappers, like, you know what I mean, like the footballers who come from that demographic. You need to get them all behind that fight. I think it's a fantastic fight, simply because I believe that Joshua Boazzi has an identity crisis. He wants to be Evander Holyfield one day, and then he wants to be Andre Ward another day, right? But one thing that I have to rate with Dan Aziz actually knows who he is. He styles himself on Marvin Hagler. You know what I mean? He watches Marvin Hagler was like, I'm going to have to go do things the hard way. And Dan Aziz is actually a throwback fighter to the 80s. Everything about him. Yeah. I could see Dan Aziz fighting at the London Arena, way before your time. London Arena, being promoted by Frank Warren back in the day. You know what I mean? In his velvet shorts, how he fights. He's that guy. It's a great fight. And I'm looking forward to that fight. I'm doing some bits for Boxer, which I'm kind of chuffed to be doing. I think that is going to be a wonderful, wonderful fight.
Spence, you talked about the bragging rights in the barbershop. Now, this is for the British and Commonwealth title, but for two guys that are from the same city, from that culture that you keep talking about and all that, is bragging rights more than this British title? Does the bragging rights mean more than the British title and the Commonwealth title in this fight?
No, because the British title historically is a fantastic a crown to hold, and historically great men who've held that title. You mean none greater than John Conte, who goes underneath the radar. People seem to forget about him. He was a fabulous fighter, but who was trained by the late great George Francis. But I would say that the British title was like the icing on the cake, because we got to be realistic. The British title means to individuals. It's a fantastic, aesthetically, it's a beautiful belt to look at, right? And so we'd have to be realistic and say, like, the two men have to go and give their best, but the onus is on Joshua Buatsi, right? Really perform to the level. He had a fantastic barn burner of a fight with Craig Richards, right? You know what? Out of all of this, the person I really feel sorry for is Craig Richards, because people have seemingly forgotten about him. Because the talk is like the winner of this fight here could potentially face Anthony Yard, right? That's the talk, right? You must have heard it.
Okay,
you
know what I
mean? Right. So, I'm going to be real. The person I really feel sorry for is Craig Richards. I hope that he gets a big fight soon as well.
Yeah, I know he's changed training teams now, Craig Richards, yeah. But yeah, that Aziz Boazi is what I'm looking forward to. So, listen, Spence, we've got, 9 minutes left on this Zoom call, but I know you've got to do some proper work. You've got to do some real work, not just talk with me.
Just work. But yeah, just want to say, just big up to you, Andrew, man. You're doing good stuff, man. You know what I mean? You're keeping the fire burning. So I like that.
I'm trying. I've just got one of the young guys that I train right now, just walked in the gym right now. So we're going to do some pads. And he's got the Scottish Championships coming up. So we're going to do a little pad session, get him ready, get him sharp. And he's just getting himself ready just now. He's fighting the Scottish Championships.
What weight is he?
64. So light welter, super lightweight now. 21.
Well, what's his name?
Lewis Connolly.
I wish you all the best. But wait, Connolly's an Irish name, though. What's going on there?
Yeah, Scots-Irish.
Nah, bro.
We're all the same. We're all Celtic people, brother. We're all Celtic.
Celtic, but Connolly, you know what I mean? It is, because Billy Connolly as well. But I know a lot of Connolly are Irish, so yeah. Anyway, I wish him all the best. Do your best, mate.
You just said thank you there, Spence.
All right, mate.
Right, Spence, I'll speak to you soon, brother, no doubt. Listen, I'll speak to you soon, brother. Thank you, mate.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.